Hey guys.
Hey.
Welcome to Queens Unapologetically Us with our king, Selly Sel. I am always Trina with my co-host. We co-hosts?
Yeah,
co-hostesses. Mellow.
What's up, Mellow?
Celebration of Black History Month. We are dedicating a few episodes to it. So this is Black History, being Black in America. We're just gonna talk a little bit about our different experiences being Black in America. Netflix, Hulu, or not really Hulu, but Netflix and Amazon Prime have been dropping shit like every couple days. They're dropping some new like documentary about some famous Black person, which, you know, I do appreciate. I hope that they will do that throughout the year, because like I always say, we're Black every day. Like, I don't need a month to tell me I need to celebrate and be proud of who I am. Like, just like I don't need a day to tell me to get my mom flowers and tell her I love her. Like, I'll do that whenever I come see her. Like, but, you know, I guess we should be happy to have something, but I feel like it should be all the time. Black history is American history.
Yes.
You know, Black American history.
I appreciate
the
effort.
Yeah.
You know? I think what's good now is that, like, it is on a mainstream platform or platforms that they are pushing this out. I mean, some of the shit that they put out, though, I'm not a fan of all the time, because a lot of it is just, like, trauma porn.
Yeah.
But I do think the educational side of it, is teaching the history, is mad important. So, you know, I do think what would be great is for more Black platforms, so we are in control of the narrative. You feel me?
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
100%.
Telling, 'cause I think sometimes they make Black movies and shit for white folks,
yeah,
so they can either learn about it, ease their guilt, or whatever.
These movies also glorify slavery most of the time. You hear what I'm saying? So I do believe,
or they glorify like police brutality, or like it's like the only experience niggas have, slavery and cops.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yes, this is a reality,
but it's not all we face.
More to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't always hop into it because, you know, because that shit's entertainment. So I want to be entertained. So I can't watch, you know, trauma porn all the time. Like we were talking about recently, when they see us, like me and Trina, like we're talking about, we haven't even seen it because I'm just not mentally prepared, you know. And Mello, like we were saying, like we know, we grew up knowing the story. So it's very traumatic for us to like relive that shit, because to me, like, I want to disconnect a lot of the times when I'm watching something. So seeing something that's based in reality, it's hard,
which is why I appreciate people like Jordan Peele. And have you guys watched Lovecraft Country?
Oh god, I
appreciate, and I'm like, I don't even like scary or horror,
Black
anything like that, but I appreciate that, like, hey, we don't, everything we do doesn't have to be about slaves, doesn't have to be about, like you said, us suffering all the time. Like, why don't we have any Black horror? Why don't we have any Black sci-fi? Why would we, like, I appreciate that he's like expanding what we are a part of, even just as actors, like being able to have that in your repertoire of things you do. You know,
yeah. I will say one of my favorite things too. I mean this is a lot of people's favorite thing is Insecure by Issa. Oh my god! Like, just
it was the last season.
I know. I'm heartbroken.
If you don't know what an insecure Black girl is,
I no, but I mean it was like her like her, you know, web series, her web stuff, which I never watched, but you know, about her being an awkward Black girl.
Black girl.
Yeah. You know, like I'm like, oh man, I love it. Like, I mean, that was,
you can
that was
relate, you know?
Yes.
And they do talk about certain things, but it's just like, this is what I love, seeing things like that, like Black Panther, seeing things where it's more than just slavery and police brutality, seeing Black stories, Black relationships, Black comedy, Black heartbreak, shit that we can relate to, shit that we talk about on this podcast, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So power to Hulu and Netflix and da 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 and Amazon and all that shit pushing out black stories, but like, I think there needs to be a little shift in the community and society about the black narrative. So, which we're in control of.
Yes.
Yeah, we should be in control of writing our own narrative, I feel. I feel, how can we let another race tell our story without really knowing, without giving proper information, you feel me? Like, you're not giving out the right information, so of course stereotypes are going to be put out there. And I mean, if people don't know, they're going to believe these stereotypes. But it's always right to give the right information first.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these people who do create this aren't interested in facts. They're about entertainment. So when I look for stuff that is entertainment-based, like if I know it's just purely entertainment, I'm good with that. But when they try to whitewash history or whitewash experiences or try and just negate black people's influence in these stories, that's when I have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So, me, as a black woman in America, I find it hard to trust America's intentions with me, you feel me? Just being a black woman. I don't really find trust in America. So, because of history, I know that it's proven that we're not so much protected a lot, so I find it very hard. Society makes it hard for me to trust being a black woman in America, you feel me? Like, I can't really trust how America moves with us. It's nothing really, like, going back to the narrative, our narrative is crazy negative. We're mostly sexualized.
Hypersexual.
Yeah, like, it's like crazy. And I hope other people notice it and feel the same way. Because I don't see a normalcy. I don't see a normalcy in it at all. To me, it's not normal. And so,
yeah.
And I watch how kind of people just say, oh, it is what it is, but it's kind of, we're letting society abuse us and not really taking a stance on it, I see.
I think there are people who come out and try and say things and be like, no, that's not representative of who I am. I think anti-blackness is just so strong in this country and the world that it's so easy to dismiss black voices, black bodies, black stories. As much, black women are the most disrespected thing in the world. However, they're the reason why society exists. Black women push not only the world, but this country forward. Repeatedly in this country, we see, we're just talking politically, pushing and saving this fucking country for a country that don't give a shit about us and definitely don't give a shit about black women. Stacey Abrams saving again, you know what I mean? Like, the what's going on in this world, in this country too, black women continuously put this country on their back. They hold up black men, they hold up white people, even though they're hella disrespected. You know what I mean? Black women are the blueprint. You said it before. It's facts. But what has happened is that because we are so disrespected as black people, they continue to take from us and bleed from us, and we are fighting back. I am a proponent of gatekeeping our culture, gatekeeping certain shit. Like, don't be talking like that because you don't know. I'm going to call you out. Like, no, you don't talk like that. You don't dress like that. Nah, you didn't create that music you're listening to.
Yeah.
You didn't create that dance.
Yeah.
You didn't face the racism we face because our hair like this. No, you cannot wear your hair like that. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
I do think there are, we are pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think it's beautiful to see because I do think we need to preserve our blackness.
Like, don't get me wrong, I see a lot more people looking at certain things now in society and pointing it out. You feel me? I see a few, which is a good thing, because it's showing me that people are waking up to a lot of lies that were being told and a lot of stereotypes that aren't even true. And I think the generation for the new generation, the future for even calling out some things that we as adults didn't even see.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't see how it was affecting the new generation. Colorism is big in our own community, which is, it's a scary thing. Like,
but see, we have to have each other's back.
Yeah, exactly.
When somebody's like standing up, like you, it's a lot more helpful if you know that there's people who are gonna be there right there with you.
Yeah, we're like, more powerful in numbers.
Yeah.
So how I look at it,
the problem is, like, I agree with that, and I believe in black unity, but what's happened is there's division in our community that has been perpetuated, so people will do it, repeat it themselves, mm-hmm. or it's been pushed on us, because, like you said, there's power in numbers. So, but they all, like, we've heard it, like, I ain't got nothing to do with me. That's not my business.
That's not my business.
But that's a problem. You know, in certain aspects. Sometimes it's good to mind your own fucking business.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when
but.
to a black person that may not be someone of the same color or sexual orientation or economic tax bracket,
mm-hmm.
they're still doing something to a black person.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's when there needs to be unity. You feel me?
Like, did you guys see the, it was a video that went viral of a black man and a black woman. He asked her for her number, and he, after she told him no, he hit her in the head with a skateboard.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I remember.
That was the most shockingest thing to me, because it made me say, well, damn, this is kind of extreme.
Yeah.
It was to the point where, as a black woman, I looked at it like, wow, yo. As of us, our own community, where have we come to self-hatred?
I mean, that's scary.
Yeah, like, you feel me? Like, when has it ever been that behavior in our culture, in our community, was ever okay?
I mean, it's never been okay. It's never been okay. And
exactly.
It shouldn't be tolerated. Mm-mm. I do think that it's just, I mean, that shit right there is just...
When was that ever normalized? You get what I'm saying?
Well, the disrespect to black women is so normalized. Disrespect to women is so normalized, especially black women.
Yeah.
And it's more hurtful and painful to see it come from a black man.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And... it shouldn't be normalized. That's the thing. And, you know, it shouldn't be allowed. That shit needs to stop. Straight up. That's just facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still... colorism in our community is, like, mad crazy. I feel like putting light against dark. We don't have a nation, you feel me? We don't have a nation. And... to see other nations have a nation and us kind of not have one and not come together as a collective and see how to build as a nation. Because of colorism.
Grounded in white supremacy.
Like, yeah, like, you feel me? Like, it's one of those, like, wow, we don't have a nation. I would like to see us come together and build one. And try to solve certain things in our own communities that would be beneficial. Tulsa, Oklahoma, we've done it before, but I also think white supremacy has interfered.
oh, well, yeah, they bombed the fuck out of us because of that.
Yeah, you know, they didn't, mind you, this isn't a third world country. This is America. And you bomb
America, your own people. Yeah. We talked about everybody laughing at us.
So it's like, I feel like, damn, you bombed your own people with no remorse, because they built a city.
Well, they don't see us as their own people.
We're not even human on paper.
That's the thing. It's like, you feel me? We aren't their people.
Yeah,
we're not. They're bombing others.
And it's kind of crazy, because on paper we're not, still to this day, we're not human. And that's what we need to understand. These are things that we have to push for. We're still 3/4 of a human on paper. It doesn't matter. We're not human. So to really understand how they even see us, I feel a lot of us haven't processed yet. And that comes with just researching on our own and understanding what these things mean and how society...
It's what you said, coming together, because I feel like, and I think we can get more into it, at least I'm speaking for myself, like being proud of the things that make us Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So important. Having that self-care and self-love is so powerful. When you learn to love yourself, you begin to, and I'm not saying you need to love yourself to love others, because you can, but I mean, it's so powerful when you love yourself, you love what makes you Black, then you love your brothers and your sisters.
I mean, it makes you walk different. It makes you think different when you are looking at yourself and saying, man, I mm-hmm. hate the color of my skin. Yeah. I hate the kink in my hair. I hate my mm-hmm. lips. I hate my nose. I hate me. Like, I grew up not liking a lot of myself, but unfortunately it wasn't coming from the white culture. It wasn't coming from Asians. It was coming from Latinos. It was coming from my own community. Because that's where I lived, in a Black neighborhood.
Yeah.
There were, you know, others scattered around, but not on our street. Like,
and
you know, like,
but that goes to colorism, because you light skin.
Well, but that's, but,
and that's it. It's that's
that was
the
that was yeah, it was. Reality. But I didn't grow up. Yeah. Nobody in my household was saying, "Oh, look at her, she's light, so she's pretty."
Yeah.
No. Oh, look at her hair, she's pretty. So I didn't have that mindset. So being in a private school for kindergarten, and then being homeschooled first, second, third, and then going to public in fourth. It was a fucking shock when people who looked enough like me were like, no, you're not one of us. You have freckles. What's going on? Like,
so
you,
let's put it this way. So for our followers who don't know us, our listeners, Trina, do you consider yourself light-skinned?
I feel like I'm in the middle, because there's plenty of people in my family, there are plenty of people who are lighter, and there are plenty of people who are darker. Mm-hmm. And there's us in the middle. Same with the friends that I had growing up. There were people who were biracial or just mixed a lot and were super light. And either I had friends who were who I didn't even know were Black for a while until I saw one of their parents. Right. Like, oh shit, you're Black? Mm-hmm. And then there's friends who were obviously Black. And then I always felt like I was in the middle. I never really felt like I was, quote, light-skinned, because my grandmother's white as the wall. Like, you know, and then my grandfather was dark. So it was like, I'm exactly in the middle of them, of like,
Mello,
the spectrum.
Do you consider Trina light-skinned?
Yes. Yeah. But I also don't consider her, like, mad light-skinned, though. Like, because...
No, I know.
Yeah,
you're light-skinned.
Yeah. You call me light-skinned.
You fall in that category, but, like...
Okay.
There's lighter people than you, though.
But
so.
So...
For sure.
Yeah, you feel
okay,
me?
Okay, so...
Like,
and then, I mean, I think it goes without saying, we both don't feel Mello is light-skinned, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about me?
You're more bronze, like Mello.
But I feel like I've been told I was light skinned, and I was offended.
And that's what. And that's what
well, why were you offended?
Because, yo, it was because the way she said it.
Because of this.
I was more of, not because of the color. It was like, how am I acting light-skinned? What is being light-skinned? It just was off the whole.
But see, that's what it's grounded in. It's grounded in, there is,
because my
idea
whole
of light-skinned black folks are different.
But from how are light-skinned black folks supposed to act?
No, well, no.
That's what I was more offended by.
But just like you're what you and your mom were watching, talking about how we have different experiences. Yes, because we're different people, but the black female experience is the black female experience.
And the person that said it to me, they were darker.
Well, yeah, because you're a little bit darker than me, so to you, I'm light-skinned.
And
I have family
like,
who's way lighter than me, so I don't consider myself, quote, light skinned. I'm lighter.
Yeah.
But I feel like the middle is a big range.
Yeah.
Between a little bit lighter than me and a little bit darker than you.
Yeah.
To me is the big,
that's an important thing, because when you are a lighter shade of brown or lighter shade of black, you're looked at differently. And you know, and darker shade too. So mm-hmm. I feel like what's been happening is, because there is a privilege that comes from being lighter skinned because of white supremacy and white privilege. People will look at you differently or be like, oh, you're mixed. Or, oh, you got that good skin. You got that good hair.
Yeah.
If you're lighter. And being white passing is a privilege. You know what I mean?
True.
I do think it needs to be something that needs to be acknowledged by light skinned black folk.
I'm going to say something.
Because.
Well, go ahead. Cause.
And I just think that when you're darker skinned, if there's an association, when you're darker, you're dirty, you're nasty, you're angry, you're bigger, you're scary, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there needs to be an acknowledgement from lighter skinned black folks in our community that they may have benefited from some kind of privilege. The problem is, it's hard for us as black folks to face the fact that, like, nah, bro, I'm still a nigga to everybody else, and not accept that there was some kind of privilege.
Exactly.
I mean, it's hard to say that black folks have privilege, but
light-skinned black people do. And it's sad to say that even in our own community they do. So, I'm gonna say something, because a lot of people, like, you see my mother. My mother's darker than me.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's chocolate. She's dark. So, but her mother is light-skinned. And my grandmother's siblings, she has two sisters that are very light-skinned. And both of them could pass for white women. They did back in the day, you feel me? So I think we need to talk about it more than usual, because I asked a question and it was crazy, because I just thought about it one day, like, did auntie ever, like, could pass for a white woman? My grandmother said she did. Very often. And I was like, wow. But she also, my aunt, I see, like, okay. Back then, that was a privilege. I know she been places that my grandmother couldn't go. Even though my grandmother's light-skinned, she still had black features. You feel me? So, even more so when she was younger. So, I know my aunt, I seen pictures of my aunt and was like, that's auntie? And was like, that's a whole nother woman. But, we need to talk about it.
And I mean, I think it's still prevalent now. It's still prevalent now. I mean, it's deemed as, like, you see when people talk about black women, and it's like they hoist up the lighter shade black woman.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Or even dudes too.
I think it's more the mindset that comes with that is, well, we think we're better because we're lighter, where it's, I've never thought that I was any better than anybody else based on how I look. Mm-hmm.
But it was
pushed onto me, as in people were like, well, you think you're better than me. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, you think you're, because I have lighter skin, I have freckles, and I have lighter hair. But I that doesn't change me from being, but now you're like taking away from my blackness.
Right.
By saying, oh, well, you're not really black. Oh, well, you do these things that we don't do. So you're light skinned. So you're really not black. Like, what, mm-hmm. like, no, like everything we all do is black. Cause we're doing things differently. Does it make me any less black than you are? Just cause my skin may be lighter. Doesn't make me less black than you.
Less black.
My parents are black. My grandparents are black. None of them are biracial. They are black. So to tell me that I'm not really black or I'm less black, and that usually comes from other black people. Oh, well, you're.
Yeah,
oh, my family's gonna love you because you're not really black. You're not like. Well,
they say
no,
you're whitewashed.
Like, don't.
But I feel like every black person in America is whitewashed. We don't live traditional.
I mean, whitewashed.
We live
as in
white supremacy.
Yeah,
so
because
how
we're
do
not
we live traditional?
Of our African roots. Sure,
exactly.
Whitewashed. But the term whitewashed is referring to the fact that. That person's not listening to rap music, they're listening to country music or rock music, or
they
dress a certain way,
that's
or
just
they
so
and white. that's what whitewashed
that's so
means.
Ignorant to me,
but
and see that connection of whitewash,
yeah,
light
like,
skin
supremacy, like yeah,
you know,
it's
but what it is like it's because it is the white supremacy that is prevalent in this country and in this world, and it takes away from our blackness. And as black folk, we know straight up, I'm not white.
Yeah.
White folks don't look at me as white. Other people don't look at me as white. So I know I'm not white. So to be called white,
yeah.
whitewashed,
yeah, white yeah,
whatever,
it's...
light skin, shit. Like, that's offensive. So I think it is a thing that black folks internalize and push
mm-hmm.
on other people because we look at it as like, nah. Being that way is not cool.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
a way, you know, it's not good. And that's dangerous. You know, we got to learn to accept and love all shades of
well,
because
we come in all shades. And I do get that there are people who think they're better. It could be because they're lighter skin. It could be because they're biracial. It could be because of
mm-hmm.
the money they have or whatever it is. But I struggled probably until, through middle school to really have black female friends. To even have black guys, like, they're like, oh, you're light, I would never date you. Like, but we're black, like, shouldn't we just, like, if you're keeping it in the race, keep it in the race, but because
you
I'm, because you're,
before?
Yes, a guy I liked in high school, a dark-skinned dreadhead, the only dreadhead in our school, he wasn't from California.
He took that extreme.
No, he was like, oh, you're, like, I would, like, you're cool, you're funny, you're nice, like, you're, but I would never date you because you're light. Like, and that, like, that sucks. So even for my own, even in my own culture, I wasn't enough. And I do understand that darker skinned people also experience that where somebody's like, oh, you're too dark for me. I would never date you because
yeah.
they don't, you know, so we have the same exact experiences. It just may be in a different way. But you being told that your color
yeah.
is a problem from your own people is the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
so,
hurts the most. I think we know. A majority of people who are not us are not gonna like us, especially white folk.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear it from your own people,
it hurts a little bit more.
I don't care if a white person is like me, but my own people are like, oh,
yeah.
you're, oh,
yeah.
because you like this or because you like that. You watch anime? What black person likes anime? Actually, a lot of us. Like, oh, you like country music? You like, yeah, but I also got 2 Chainz on there.
But,
I got Young Thug too.
But if people
like,
understood
like, you...
anime, because I like anime, and I'm going to be perfectly honest, I like the art of anime. But if you know history and black history, you would know if you were a samurai, you would have to have African blood in you. So anime is not white by far. So to me, it's just ignorance.
No, it's not
like,
white. It's
not,
not black.
Yeah.
That's the argument is that it means Japanese.
Yeah, but it's
like,
still,
but,
if to
but,
be a, like, you gotta, oh man.
Black people love kung fu.
Yeah.
But like, it's not, it wasn't a thing
but
that, but you know.
That's the thing is that,
it's,
like,
it's,
what happens is like, there is a underlying, not talked
about,
maybe, and there is talked about sometimes, but like, understanding of what it is to be
black.
And then not doing certain shit makes you
not black.
And me, my experience growing up biracial, being half black, half Mexican, it was torture. You know,
yeah.
because
yeah.
I wasn't accepted from either side.
Mm-hmm.
I was either too black for the Mexicans or too Mexican for the black.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So I never fit in anywhere. And there was a lot of self-hatred that I grew up with that I think a lot of black people grow up with, regardless of their shade,
yeah.
but being told of what you,
you are.
And like, yeah. it's like we're always fighting a stereotype, as a lot of people are. Mm-hmm. But what I think is connecting back to what I said earlier is like learning to embrace your skin, your hair, your lips, your the way your voice sounds, the way you dance, if you can dance, your
yeah.
skills in basketball. Embrace all
or your
that.
Lack thereof, and not
right,
being like, you can't play ball.
That's the thing. Once you learn to
embrace that, yeah,
then I think you become more comfortable. And you start seeing, and I know that I've benefited from privilege. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not the lightest black person, but I do know I've benefited from where I grew up,
yeah.
or my voice, or my skin. Being a man, there's privilege in that, but I think
yeah.
that's what I'm saying. It's like I think. We all need to do some internal
work.
Self-love. Some embracing ourselves.
Yeah. Do positive.
But I mean, even like for our next, like we were talking on the phone, Mello and I, a couple of days ago, and I was saying how like I've, you know, dated people who, like black guys whose families are like, oh, you're light skinned. We love you. Like, you haven't known me yet. Like, I could be trash. I could be an asshole
mm-hmm.
to your
mm-hmm.
nephew, your son, your whoever. But because of my color, you like me automatically, but that's perpetuating the, like, I was like, well, we get married, he's darker skin, we have a dark skin baby, you're gonna treat the dark baby worse than the light skin baby? Like, I'd be damned if you're gonna mistreat my child because of their color and you're their family. But like, that starts with us and like how we
yeah. I mean,
teach
there's
our
a fetishization
like,
of black people in
yeah.
general, and definitely light skin. I mean, like, no, you know what? I let me go back on that. There's a fetishization on black people in general.
In general,
because
yeah.
you look at like darker skinned black people, and there's a big, huge community of white women, or not. I keep attacking white folks.
Non-black folks
have an attraction to black men,
mm-hmm.
not. Black men's feelings, thoughts, concerns,
experience,
goals, dreams, but their black skin and black bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like,
dangerous. It's disgusting.
Like I'm gonna say something because
it
goes on because I wanted to talk about having a black party, and why I say that is because, do you feel like
a political party?
Yeah, because
like you're talking about like a turnout.
Oh, yeah, I was like,
no, we can't
do it because of COVID, but
yeah.
black political party
because at the same time we don't have a nation, and I notice. Like, it might sound like I'm attacking white folks, but throughout history, you guys being involved in certain things that we do, we can't progress with your influence. We haven't with
mm-hmm.
white influence. So if we had our own political party with no other race, because I feel like me, I feel like I shouldn't have to ask for validation for no other race. Other races don't ask validation from us, and I feel like it's one of those, well, damn, why can't we have this and have a nation and build politically and without any other influence? Because we can.
I honestly, I'm gonna be real with you. I'm not sure if we can. I mean, because there is so much division within
yeah.
the black community. You know, because we as black folks are not a monolith, we are all type of different black folks. We saw a video just the other day
mm-hmm.
of black folks who deny slavery's impact in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, there's some black folks that I can't fuck with because kinfolk ain't kinfolk.
Thank
all
you.
The time. You.
Thank
feel
you.
Me? Just because you black
don't mean
I can fuck
with you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So there's a exactly. So for me, I want to believe in black unity and black unification.
But then, yeah, I feel like we have to, we really have to find a healing place. Like, I feel like we haven't reached.
I agree with that, but I don't know if a black political party would work anymore, especially because, as you said in the very beginning of this episode, it's hard to trust America.
Yeah.
Like, I don't fuck with any political party.
Yeah, I don't.
The way they've treated us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love the Black Panther Party. They have influenced my life growing up so much now. But, like, anytime there's going to be a black uprising, white folks going to kill us and assassinate us and try
to stop us out.
And fight us. You know what I mean? So,
and how I look
I
at it.
I want to believe in it, but I don't want to be a pessimistic person.
Until Dred Scott law is changed for me. Mm-hmm. Dred Scott law. If you don't know what the Dred Scott law is, I advise you to Google it and read it. If you're a person of color, please understand. When you read this, it's basically telling you you are not an American because you're a person of color. So it goes back to what I said earlier. We're still on paper not human. Until we change these laws, a lot of things, we're not going to go anywhere.
I mean, we're not free.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
Until we change these laws, like, we have to focus on that. And we can't even focus on that collectively at this point.
I think we are all coming from the same place. We may disagree in the method because, for me, I don't even believe the law can help. I really...
Yeah.
To me, maybe it's because I'm a hippie. Maybe it's because I'm an emotional person. But I think there's no more strength in, like, black... self-acceptance and black love and black mental health. When you have that shit, oh my god, when we start realizing our own power and strength, it's like what you were saying recently, like, you goddamn right I'm magical as a black person.
But
I'm still a person. I do magical things because I just so happen to be lucky and be black. However, I'm still human. I still bleed the same way as you. But when you start when we start realizing our strength, our power, and stop letting people take that shit from us, I think there might be an uprising. But some people are just so passive within our except being, you know, looked as...
I feel like we got docile.
As an animal.
I'm not going to lie.
I mean,
we got complacent. We got complacent and docile.
There's
white supremacy.
But there's also the people who are doing well enough that they're like, well, what needs to change? Like... I went to college and I got a good job and so did my partner and like
they
really
don't care.
Like it, but it's their experience. We all have different experiences.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like thinking of my family, who are doing, you know, well for themselves. They've not that they haven't struggled being black or being female or being whatever, but I'm like, man, I want to ask them about like what, like how they feel about their black experience in, you know, being here, or even my family who's lived overseas somewhere.
What I said before.
I always believe that statement.
Some of it is just about surviving for black folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about living, it's about survival. So sometimes, deep down, black folks will know that, man, I should do more, or I should be doing this, or da-da-da-da. But I can't say nothing, like you said, being docile or anything, because you don't want to shake the cage.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to... You got to look at this... You got to look at it as, for example... Nick Cannon said some things that I'm gonna say I do agree with, but as far as him losing his job, I'm gonna be perfectly honest. White people don't censor themselves. They have never censored themselves when it came to racial situations. And as far as being a black person now, I feel like at this time we shouldn't have to censor ourselves or censor our feelings, because to act surprised that black people feel this way and to act shocked, you shouldn't be shocked. Look at history.
I mean, white people don't get canceled like
black
people
have
do.
Been
yeah.
feeling like this all the
like,
time.
Yeah.
Like
see,
white,
but here's the thing.
And a lot of black people don't
thing,
speak
though.
Out because they're
cancel
scared to lose their
exist.
Job.
That's the problem.
That's what I'm saying. Like white people
don't
get
exist.
Canceled
they
like that.
Don't even
that.
Exist
like,
for black folks. Like, no, but black folks don't get canceled either though.
I mean,
you may lose some shit. Look.
Yeah, you may lose
some
shit.
I'm going to give you an example of cancer. R. Kelly, Chris Brown, these trash-ass niggas, are they, not canceled.
No.
You feel me?
But yeah, it's
you exactly. You might be making jokes about them, but they're not canceled. Getting
canceled.
But
I
that's,
know a lot of niggas still be playing Step in the Name of Love.
Yeah, yeah, but that was that's me? Against like, black women, though. Like, what they were doing was, like...
Right.
But yeah. I feel like if R. Kelly was raping white women...
He wouldn't have been in jail. Let's be perfectly 100%. Honest. Be perfectly honest.
If Chris Brown beat up a white woman...
He wouldn't... No.
I think outcome would have been a little bit different.
He would have been under the jail.
Not, I mean, OJ got away with it,
But that's what I mean, though.
He's like, not black, he's no OJ.
Hey, you're not black. I'm not black, I'm OJ. But see, that's the thing, though. I don't think cancel culture exists. I do think that as a black person, you have to watch more what you say than what a white person might do. And now, I know there's people who have been like, oh, the PC police. Mm-hmm. And, but I don't believe in cancel culture because I don't think it exists.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
I mean,
but I think there should be...
We don't take certain situations.
Man, I don't feel like it... I mean, as long as you're not preaching hate towards a group of people, maybe as a comedian you may make a joke, but you're not saying that you hate this group of people. Like, I don't... Like, it... I don't know. It,
I mean, like I said, I feel like for a week or however long, depending on how bad of what you said, it'll be hot topic. You'll be trending on Twitter for mm-hmm. a cool minute. But let this nigga Chris Brown drop another motherfucking hot ass album.
He's been
recycling for the last fucking 10 years, and he gonna come up here and steal some Usher but, and Michael Jackson moves.
I mean, to be honest, I don't fuck with him. I don't fuck with R. Kelly either. But for me, right. those actions hit harder for me. Because I've dealt with those things in my life, and I have friends who've dealt with those things. So for me, I'm like, if their old stuff comes on the radio, I'm not gonna change it. But I'm not supporting him.
I'm
not about to go buy anything. I don't download. I don't have any Chris Brown on my Spotify playlist.
But what I'm getting at is like, I don't think we as a culture actually do. Say no.
But again, that's
not. We don't. We don't.
That's
the problem. We're not
holding anybody accountable for their actions.
Like R. Kelly, I'm gonna be perfectly honest. A lot of my friends know how I feel about R. Kelly, but a lot of my friends knew I was never a fan of R. Kelly even when we were younger. I used to turn that shit off. I don't want to hear none of his music at a young age because I felt like for you to say age ain't nothing but a number, you're a pedophile. I don't have 30-year-old friends. I don't. At that age, bruh.
And if it's not because you're going after a cougar.
Yeah.
It's because you're going after young girls.
Come on, bruh. So like, I'm not, even at a young age, I wasn't feeling R. Kelly. But for us not to completely cancel this man. As a black woman, I see black women actually, if you disrespect R. Kelly or say, yeah, he's a pedophile, they get really upset. And to me, I find
that... that whole Boondocks episode.
Very awkward. Like, you feel me? Because at the same time, he didn't go do this to white girls. He did this to black girls. Inner city black girls that didn't have a father figure probably in the household. And the ones that did, it was more of you preyed on them because they had vocals. They could sing. So you promised the family certain things, which I do... I'm not a parent, but I'd be damned if I have a man that has already had allegations on him for touching children to be around my child.
Mm-hmm. But
no matter what it is,
a man in general, like
yeah,
like
I don't care if you have $1 billion.
That's another thing that's being swept under the rug in this fucking country, in our community, is not listening to victims.
Yeah,
not listening to black girls and black boys too who are being sexually abused, physically abused, mentally abused because of the way society looks at us. They do not look at us as having the same feelings, the same emotions. You know, they already look at our babies as grown men and women.
Yeah, but they're not.
And amongst ourselves, we are not calling this shit out. There's so many stories that I've heard about domestic violence or sexual abuse from black people that has been normalized.
That's normal.
And it's insane.
And it's insane.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's sad, and that shit needs to stop. Like,
but see, these are the things that we sweep up under the rug because I think it's
because people don't want to talk about things that are uncomfortable or hard.
That and because we already deal with so much in society, I think it's painful. It is. As a black person, you don't want to sit up and hear about certain things, but these are the things we need to talk about. And a lot of things are built up from slavery. So through our genetic bank, certain things are handed down through your genetic bank. It's proven. Studies, it's proven. So if you don't think certain things haven't been handed down through slavery,
So we've seen throughout history that there's a certain type of black person, and black people kind of want to act like there's a certain, you have to be a certain type of way. And so what people can disagree with me, and I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like there's a certain type of black person that black people try to portray themselves as, and we sweep shit under the rug so that not only that white people can be like, oh, this is a good black person, but other black people will look at us like, oh, that shit is like, it's okay. So like you guys were talking about previously, like, you know, what happens in this house stays in this house, but you don't talk about things because you don't want other black folks to look at you and be like, damn, you're embarrassing us.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, and like we talked about like how homophobia is so prevalent in our community, like that doesn't happen in my house, or, you know, there's not a rapist in my house. There's not a drug addict in my house. You know, we are, as black people, know that we have to push ourselves to being black excellence and stuff, that we can't even show any sign of weakness because we know white people gonna look at us a certain way, and even black people gonna look at us a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, there's a woman that I wanted to talk about because it kind of, I knew about her when I was younger because of my parents. Like, if, I forget the name of the show, but she was on a talk show, and it was in the 90s. It was, oh man, it's on the tip of my tongue, but Jane Elliott, she's a Caucasian woman, very educated. And she actually talks about the education system in America. And in one of her interviews, she says that, and what she teaches, I've watched some of her classes and her teaching about racism in America. And some of the white kids break down and cry.
Oh, she's that lady from like way back?
Yeah. And, but what she says about the education system in America is mostly that it was to indoctrinate us, not really educate us about different cultures. And she was the first white woman to ever say that white people come from us, from black people. So we're distant cousins. So it made me look at the world and how we see things and how people kind of, you know, don't really listen to the truth about history and about, like, the first lady that was ever found was Lucy, a black woman. So it kind of sets the tone of color and where people come from. That was the first human being found.
Well, the oldest.
Yeah, the oldest. So, and it kind of made me look at certain things like, wow, people take color a little bit differently. But I also look at America, it white supremacy, it makes no sense. It's a very contradicting part of America. You hate me for the color of my skin, but you also see my attributes in history and hide them. So
because that's how you keep people down. It's like you don't show them how what the greatness that they have or could have or have yeah. come from, because that you want to make sure that they don't see those positive traits.
Yeah. So
yeah,
Jane Elliott, her teachings are really, really great. What she's doing, she's very intellectual person. She's on YouTube.
She said like, white folks in this room, how many of you would want to be black? Mm-hmm.
And nobody raised their hand.
None of them raised their hand. Yeah.
Nobody
yeah,
raised
exactly.
Because this is you know, it's what I always say is like, everybody want to be a nigga until it's time to be a nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, the song. Yeah. Fuck. What's that song?
That's like.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. That no. But it is. Yeah. There's a song.
That's the show. Phil Donahue. If you grew up in the 90s, you know who Phil Donahue is. If you don't, he had a lot of people on his show in the 90s talking about racial things in history, which her being on there, she was even on Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a gang of white people stand outside and wait to enter the show. And they let all the black people in. To see how white people react to black situations, white privilege at its best. A lot of white people were upset that they had to wait, was threatening never to buy tickets to the show again. Just, it was very, very interesting to see how white supremacy influence social skills and
even like without people even knowing, because I'm sure those people are like, well, I never saw myself as this way, like I didn't think that I felt that I was superior, but deep down when you get treated differently, you're like in an uproar. It's like, this is how these people are treated every single day.
Yeah.
And not that they're not ever in an uproar, but it's kind of, you're used to it, or you stay in line so that you can get through, like
Yeah, because there's a scene in Hidden Figures where they're in the bathroom and Cameron Diaz, no, it's not Cameron Diaz, I forget her name, she's a white actress, but in the scene, one of the conversations that they were having was being racist and being in a closet racist. And as she said, oh, well, I don't view you guys as being beneath me, and like she said, I'm happy you think you don't, or you think that way, because a lot of white people don't know that some of their views are racist, but that's because a society has,
or that some of their views or actions are perpetuating certain things because they're
white supremacy. But the thing is, like, people think that it's only white people that engage.
It's other races too.
It's not true.
Yeah, it's other races
like,
too.
Even our own people uphold these values because it's what's been taught to us as society. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same as we were talking about with colorism. Like, these are my experiences are as a child. Like, the kids didn't know any better, but they're like, you have blonde hair, I like you. Oh, you're light skin, I like you. But that's because of what they were taught. Like, not even trying to be any kind of way, but that's what you know.
No,
and it's you learning and growing to be like, oh, that's not right. That's a bad mindset to have. Like,
and to fight against that.
But and then to teach.
There's just so
different.
Much that, like, people aren't aware of, though, because of, like, the covert racism. Like, you were talking about being racist overtly versus covertly. Like, there's people who... You know, it drives me insane when people are like, you know, it's not like how it used to be. You know, it's not, people aren't racist anymore. Like, when all this shit happened in quote-unquote Trump's America, I'm like, nigga, this shit's been
going on forever. It never stopped.
So,
but see, this is the thing. Trump exposed...
Isn't it white folks start seeing shit?
He made it okay to do... He made people feel okay to do it.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, all right.
This is the problem I see, is that, like, it drives me insane. It's like, we used to be, as a society and as a country... When someone was full of hate and preaching hatred, we didn't tolerate that. Like, when you start to, like, normalize racist beliefs,
Yeah.
And try and be like, no, let's hear the other side. And I'm not even talking about right wing, left wing. I'm talking about racism.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't got time to hear from a Klan member or a Nazi.
Exactly.
Like, why do I have to listen to what you have to say?
Yeah.
The fact that they've normalized and made them comfortable is basically what we saw in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But see, that's white privilege. To me, it goes back to white privilege. Because they are white, they could voice their opinion. And it could be ignorant as hell. But because they are white, they could say it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's insane.
And that's what goes back to me feeling like, as a black person now in this day and time, I'm not censoring myself. I'm not going to try to, because I notice in society, white people don't censor themselves at all, because it's white privilege. They could say and behave in a way that is very, very disrespectful and still get a slap on the wrist, or have excuses of why they behave this way without even being held accountable for their actions, you feel me, because of white privilege. So,
well, that's why it's important to be unapologetically us.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Because I look at the storming of the Capitol.
For how we see.
The storming of
we say.
The storming of the Capitol as a black person. Now, everybody knows in the black community, if we had stormed the Capitol, it would have been so many black lives taken for even being a foot outside the Capitol, you feel me? Acting aggressively. It would have been snipers, it would have been all types of bloodshed. But because they are white, they got to storm the Capitol.
Yeah, and I think like we talked about is like, you know, people, I appreciate people saying that, like, you know, like, oh, black folks were doing this because look at the Black Lives Matter protests and stuff. Like, look at how police presence was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at it from a different side too. It's like what I said when we talked about it. It's like, hey, yo, the people in those buildings are really lucky that it wasn't a bunch of
black people.
White people are lucky every single motherfucking day that black people don't act out of revenge.
Exactly.
Because we have been very, we have been taught to, we have learned to assimilate and not fight against what happened to us. We've been consistently told, oh, that was such a long time ago.
Like, that's what goes back for me.
Civil rights movement.
Yeah, being complacent and being docile and not really exercising our rights. But we know when we do exercise our rights, it comes out as bloodshed, you feel me, and people lose their jobs. And
well, it's interesting to me because
we get called racist and
we get called terrorists.
Like, yeah,
I mean, even just our opinion. Listening to the news when they describe a group of white people doing something versus a group of black people doing something, and the words they choose to use.
We're animals and looters, and we are.
Oh, whereas white people are just unruly students.
They're patriotic. That's what gets me. And when white people
they're
say
spirited. They lit a cop car on fire.
But
like,
that's like what I was gonna say is like that to me is like it's so crazy, like in this world where like I was one of the people, and you guys know, you can see him behind me, like about Cap, you know, being supportive of Kaepernick when he was participating in peaceful protests, you know what I mean? And people come from a place of privilege where they can sit up here and say like, oh, you know, he shouldn't be doing this, da 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 da. And then you fast forward to a few years later and you look at people storming the Capitol, and it's like people can tell black people how we can protest.
Mm-hmm.
People consistently tell black people how to feel about their pain, but let some white folks wild out. And it's excuse, you know, it makes me uncomfortable how comfortable people
are
with white rage.
Yeah.
White terror. Like, what? Like,
that's why
like,
I say
it's not about us that you need to be worried about. Like, the terrorists are not coming from other countries. The terrorism is being born and raised.
It's in our backyard. So at the end of the day, like, if people don't see that, I mean, I'm not going to say, like, you're stupid, but it's a lot
you're
of things.
Blind.
Yeah, you're just blind. Or you're just complacent. You're part of the problem. I say that over again. You are part of the problem because you're just turning another cheek. And it's one of those, at this day and age, we can't keep turning the other cheek on this problem. Because if we keep turning the other cheek and keep being like, oh, well, you know.
But the thing is, we as Black folks aren't turning another cheek. Like, no. We know.
Yeah.
The thing is, this is what I always say to people. I'm always like, look, Black people gonna take care of Black people. We gonna take care of our own.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want white people to be like, ayo, like, I don't really want, that's what I was gonna say earlier, like, I don't want white people to understand me.
I don't either.
I want you to understand, exactly. Like, I'm just kind of like, leave me alone. That's what I was gonna say earlier, is like, I don't know about you, but like, I don't want Black white people to bother me. Leave me alone. Worry about yourself. So what I always say is like, we can't do anything about white people in this country because white people don't call out white people.
Yeah, because that's why I said
Black people how to act.
That's why I said I don't feel like we need validation from any other race. That's why I want our own nation, because their influence has not helped us. It held us back. More than anything, I don't see how it contributed to our growth as the Black and brown community. Yeah. I don't. And for us to have power, we have to have our own nation as a collective. And I see our generation is pushing for that. We are. The older we get, the more I see as a collective, our minds are moving fast. But we have to have a plan, and we have to come together as a collective, because without that, we're not going to be able to do it. I don't feel like it's too late. I just feel like there's things that we have to discuss and put out there and come to, even if we disagree, still find a way to solve these issues in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'm always like a person who's like, the only way we can solve any of our issues is through communication.
Yeah, because like I said, there's Black people that I do not necessarily agree with, Republicans, conservatives. I don't agree with their views, but they're still Black at the end of the day. So their opinion does matter. But at the same time, that also goes back with what you said earlier. Their situation, their living situation, their financial situation is different from mine. So you might look at me beneath you for those reasons. Our struggles are different. So if we could come to a conclusion of understanding each other and understanding each other's experience, then yeah, I see us being a great nation, but there's still things that we have to get over as a collective. And I feel like those are holding us back from coming together. Like, I have so many African friends. I'm Haitian, so I have so many African friends, and I feel like that connection we need to have. We have to have certain conversations. We have to.
I agree.
Hey, guys. So if you guys want to listen to more of Being Black in America Part 2, stay tuned. Don't forget to follow us on all social media under the same name. Queens Unapologetically Us. Love you guys. Mask up. Stay safe. Peace.